Attention Patriots, this is the Chris Ann Hall Show.
Who's gonna stand up? Where are the lovers of liberty?
I think that's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. It's out of control.
You think this is over? This isn't over. There's a liberty wave coming.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. We've been missing him for a few days, but we are here Monday through Thursday and again on the weekends here on the Daily Journal, bringing you the current events from a constitutional and principled perspective, no revision and no political propaganda. The Supreme Court has been in session again, giving out their orders on what cases they will take and what cases they will not take, and offering up opinions in other cases. And there's two cases that we're going to cover today. Two really, really important, if not insightful, cases. One that has a lot of political ramifications, or I don't know if ramifications is the right word, but implications is probably better. A lot of talk about this Supreme Court opinion from a political perspective. JC, this is another one where the Supreme Court is split, but this time it's split in a very, very strange way.
Which one is this?
This is the Virginia case for gerrymandering. And what's very, very interesting is that the split, being as it is, gives us some really, really good insight on the personalities and the makeup of the Supreme Court. The second case we're going to be handling is the Oregon cake baker case, and that one we are going to handle because once again the media is spinning this one completely out of control. It sort of makes me roll my eyes, JC. I wish people who report in mainstream media on the activities of the Supreme Court would take the time to understand the procedural mechanisms of the Supreme Court. Because now, once again, we've got people running around, oh, victory, 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 when in fact nothing at all has changed. And from the Oregon Baker's perspective, this is not a victory at all. And I'll explain that to you from the beginning. But I want to start with this Virginia gerrymandering case, JC. This is an appeal from the District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia. And what has happened is in 2011, a Republican House redistricted redistricted the representation in the House of Representatives based on a new census. Well, as always happens when there's a redistricting, the people brought a legal suit against the House of Representatives for the redistricting, claiming that the redistricting was based on racial motivations, gerrymandering.
When you say people, I assume some Democrat operatives, some Democrat groups.
That's a possibility, but I'm not going to eliminate.
It wasn't the party itself, but
no, it wasn't the party itself, but it was a body of the people, and I'm not going to jump out and say that there was no actual gerrymandering, right? Because that's always a possibility.
That's usually always the reality.
Right, right. So I'm saying,
no matter what side,
I don't want to assign this to some kind of left wing radical faction.
Whether there was gerrymandering or not, whether it was a legitimate objection or not, I'm certain it was an opposition operatives.
Well, I know that the ACLU stands for liberty sometimes, and just because the ACLU brings a case doesn't mean that it's
ACLU. I'm saying they're right. They're not represent. First off, it's not how the ACLU typically works, and you're right. I understand they. In the First Amendment, a lot of times they're on good grounds and they fight for actual liberty. Now, those cases are rare. In their overall work, when they're on the side of liberty, those are few cases. But whether or not it was ASOU, now I'm not talking about the ASOU. Here's the thing. A normal citizen, they're going about their day, they're minding their business. Okay, you're already political if you're filing a gerrymandering case, okay?
But there's because lots your of average watchdog citizen, groups.
Your average citizen has no idea. I mean, they don't have a clue about the districting and what have you.
Well, but you have judicial watchdog groups. You have lots of watchdog groups. I'm just saying,
you have homework. You have homework. Find me a list of objective groups in 2019.
All I'm saying is that political. I have not jumped into merits of the case, and I'm not willing to say that this is completely political. This could very well be a very legitimate case. JC can, but I'm not gonna cast people out for that.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts. So this case is the Virginia House of Delegates et al. V. Bethune Hill et al. Okay, so we've got multiple groups here. Now, what's happened is hyphenated name.
You gotta be liberal.
No, my goodness, your pastor. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Okay,
I'm just
your
joking.
Pastor.
Okay, too many jokes.
Too many jokes today. People are getting annoyed. All right. So what happened now is that this is a very, very important distinction, JC. The House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican. This is where it gets political, right? The Republican part of the House of Representatives brings a lawsuit in to appeal the court's decision deciding that the redistricting was gerrymandering. So the people brought the lawsuit for the gerrymandering. This Republican portion of the House brings the appeal, saying, okay, the courts have found gerrymandering. We want to appeal that decision and have the courts, a higher court, look at it and say, okay, look, this is not gerrymandering.
Republicans changed voting boundaries. Somebody sued the Republicans, and then the Republicans filed an appeal.
Now, this is what's interesting, okay? The opinion is a 5-4 opinion. So we have a very narrow split, which means it could have gone either way.
But it wasn't simply conservative versus liberal.
It was not conservative versus liberal. It was not Republican justices versus Democrat justices.
Right. This is a mix on both sides.
This is a mix on both sides. So Ginsburg, or somebody writing for Ginsburg, drafted
the ghost of Ginsburg.
The ghost of Ginsburg wrote the court opinion. Thomas, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Gorsuch join with Ginsburg. Talk about a motley crew, right? So then you have Alito, Roberts, Breyer, and Kavanaugh filing a dissenting opinion. So you've got the two Trump nominees against each other in the same opinion, which we have found not to be unusual.
That's been a trend. I think you can call that a trend at this point. They've been on opposing sides so many times.
Right.
So this is the same, as I mentioned several shows back.
Right.
You have your two Trump appointees almost always ending up on opposite sides, which is strange.
And now my inclination, based on patterns, is to side with Gorsuch initially.
Generally, yeah.
Generally, right?
He's usually the most consistent.
He's the most liberty consistent. Justice. He's the most consistent constitutional justice that we have at this time. And for Thomas and Alito to split their brotherhood is also very strange. So this is a really, really great case to learn the personalities of these justices. Now, I'm gonna pull a JC here. I'm gonna tell you that I just believe that Ginsburg and Kagan are taking this side because it's the radical Democrat side.
Right. Okay?
Call me cynical. I don't care what you say. Ginsburg and Kagan are not in remotely concerned about Constitution or principled issues.
So right? everybody, and I agree, everybody else, if you flip this, right, if it were Democrats appealing rather than Republicans, I think everybody would stay where they are except those two. Those two would flip. They would get on the other side. So they're purely political for them.
I
believe that.
Right, you're right. Because I'm going to say that Kavanaugh's going to vote with the Democrats most of the time along this path anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Democrats are the big government guy. The Democrats are the precedent guys. And Kavanaugh's going to stick with that.
Yep.
Judicial power, government power, and precedent. That's where Kavanaugh's going to go. So why did Thomas and Gorsuch take this side of the case? And who's right and who's wrong? Well,
I think, not to get to the end, I think there's right on both right and wrong on both sides. I'm actually with Alito after you were reading, sharing his opinion.
Maybe after you hear my explanation, you will not be.
Okay, go.
Because Alito is totally off the mark.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so what we're going to see here, JC, is how these justices view the role of government, okay? Now, remember, extracting Ginsburg and Kagan. Sotomayor can be constitutional. She's a little bit the quiet person there. And so I'm not going to throw her in with Ginsburg and Kagan at this time. But extracting Ginsburg and Kagan, you have to wonder why Thomas and Gorsuch took the side with Ginsburg and Kagan and Sotomayor that they did. And so when we get back from the break, I'm going to show you the arguments of the House and why they did what they did.
Liberty's lobbyist Chris N. Hall has now taken control.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here. Remember, LibertyFirstUniversity.com, LibertyFirstUniversity.com, where you can get constitutional education for everybody in the family, everybody in the church, everybody in the schoolhouse, everybody in the workplace, as if it was being taught by those who wrote the Constitution. Maybe that will come out sooner or later. So we're talking about this case about gerrymandering. And
Virginia House of Delegates versus Bethune-Hill.
Bethune-Hill, yes.
So in simple terms, what was the opinion of the case?
So in simple terms, here's what we have. The House has brought two challenges. The House urges that it has standing to represent the state's interests and that it has been damaged. There's been damage by this gerrymandering to the House of Representatives.
Now, the first part's easy, right?
The first part is easy.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes, the first part is easy. So by Virginia state law, and I have it up here on YouTube if you want to see it, it says all legal services in civil matters for the Commonwealth, the governor, every state department, institution, division, commission, board, bureau, agency, entity, official, court, or judge shall be rendered and performed by the Attorney General.
So the Attorney General handles all these cases, represents the state in court cases.
In court cases.
Period.
Period.
That's the law.
That's the law.
So the question of standing, so the House is now suing on behalf of the state. The
right.
bottom line is, you can't do that.
Right. And
you have no authority to stand in
not.
For the state.
No,
that has to
the
be
law
the Attorney General.
Says the Attorney General has that authority. And the Attorney General made a public and legal statement that the Attorney General would not be seeking prosecution, said that it was not in the best interest of the people of the state.
And he's a Democrat, by the way, right? Yeah, he's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat. So here's the thing. The Attorney General says it's not in the interest of the people to take this. So legally, by the laws of Virginia, there is no more lawsuit.
Yep.
So standing does not exist.
So they ruled their opinion, was correct here.
Their opinion is correct here. So, but then the state says, or the House says, regardless of whether we have standing in that aspect or not, we have been damaged, okay? So aside from a role in enacting the invalidated redistricting plan, the House, echoed by the dissent, asserts that the House has standing because altered district boundaries may affect its composition, and that through redrawing the lines, it may affect the membership of the chamber. The House as an institution, and the majority court says the House as an institution has no cognizable interest in the identity of its members.
Okay, so here, this, let me say, this is, they're making a dumb argument. This is idiotic, okay, number one.
Who is they?
The House.
Yes.
The House is making an idiotic argument. I think this is stupid. I think they were injured. But this is not why. This is the dumbest argument to me they could have made. There's a better argument to how they were injured. And I thought Alito spoke to this. I may have misunderstood.
No.
But this is stupid.
Well, no, because Alito takes this side, saying, yes, they were injured because the House, as an institution, has an interest in the identity of its members.
Okay, here's the argument. It's the duty, okay, redistricting is done by the legislature.
Right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this thing, this is a political thing.
Right.
Okay? What did President Obama say? Election have consequences. All right? This is a political issue.
Right.
It is their job, their prerogative to do this.
Right.
When someone, the other party under the guise of the people, some Democrat operative, whoever, whatever, doesn't matter. Somebody can now throw this in the courts, sue, the courts throws it out. Not only that, the court then dictates to the legislature, here's how you are now going to redistrict.
Well, that's
that
not,
is how they're, that to me is how they're injured,
but
because
that's not
now.
That's not exactly how it works.
But what I'm saying is, it's separation of powers is what I'm arguing.
Right.
You now have this power. They can never redistrict.
Well,
they can't do it.
Okay, but you're not. But you're missing a step in there, because the court doesn't jump in and redraw the lines. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk about that. I agree with you in part, but not in the whole.
There again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry.
You can't learn the easy way, you'll learn the hard way.
Chris and Hall, She's Liberty's Lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I want to remind you that coming up in August, we have our most amazing In Defense of Liberty training coming up. Constitutional training, hand-to-hand self-defense training, active shooter defense, just the best training that you could have to defend your liberty on all aspects. Go to chrisannhall.com, click on the In Defense of Liberty training, watch the video of the training that we did last year, and then see what you need to have. So what we have is this Virginia case. And what's happened is the voters brought a case to make accusation that the new districting lines were done in a manner that it consists of gerrymandering. The court found in favor of the people. Now, here's how this works. The court then says to the House, okay, we've got elections coming up. You have this amount of time to redistrict the new district lines, okay? And because there's an election, you have to do that. Now, what happened in this case is that the House refused. And so when you have the court that has found that the people
they put their hopes in the lawsuit,
right,
or the appeal.
Right. So the people actually brought the lawsuit, and they ought to be able to bring the lawsuit. And the judicial system then has to weigh both sides. Now, I'm not saying that what we have is we don't have a political court here. But what I'm saying is the way the system is set up to work is the people have to have the authority to bring the accusation. The court is the one that decides which party has the on the merits. And in this case, they decided with the people. Then the court said, okay, this is clearly gerrymandering. Whether it is or not is irrelevant, because if it, and I haven't investigated the merits of the case. This is going back too far. So what we have now is that the courts have said this is gerrymandering. The legislature has this window to redistrict because we have elections coming up. And if you do not redistrict, we cannot have an election, period. And that's what then causes the courts then to redistrict. Now, I agree with you that this is a separation of powers issue. I believe that the Virginia legislature, the Virginia law, the Virginia people should bring a manner in which redistricting can happen where the court is not doing it.
Yeah, that's the root of the problem, yeah, I think, yeah. Is probably the Virginia law.
Yes.
Okay, here's how you do it.
Right.
Right? So
I mean, basically what you have is you have the legislative body, okay? You have the legislative body creating voting districts for itself.
Yeah.
Okay? So then the check and balance rests in the people. And then their remedy is through the courts. Now, what's happened here is that the appeal is to come from the Attorney General, who is the attorney for the people, right? Yeah. So the Attorney General says, okay, the court is right. We're not going to pursue this. That's the check and balance. It's not the House's check and balance to argue whether their redistricting, which directly benefits them or not, is proper. You already have two levels of check. You have a level of check in the people, or three. You have the level of the check in the people, you have the check in the court, and then you have the third check in the Attorney General. What's missing is the remedy.
So I think bottom line is this is going to continue. This has been a problem. I think it's going to continue to be a problem. We've seen this happen in numerous states. It mm-hmm. happened in Florida. Mm-hmm. That's why I think the argument was dumb, like what you're saying. These guys come and say, oh, we have an interest of this. Well, yeah, you're making your own voting districts?
Exactly.
It's like, what?
Right. That's
like the employee setting his own salary and making his own rules. Although that is what the legislature does.
Setting their own scope hiring their own bosses.
Yeah, so, right.
Right? So it's the legislature actually hiring its own bosses. And the House says, okay, look, We have an interest in how we're composed. Now, this is where it gets really, really political, JC, because the House's argument is solely based on politics,
yeah.
Which I believe...
It's not a legal argument.
I believe proves, that in my mind, that the gerrymandering actually occurred. Because if their interest was not... the political composition of the House, but in the representation of the people in the most accurate way, they wouldn't be arguing we were damaged. They'd be arguing the people are damaged, because now what you're doing is actually gerrymandering through the courts. See, they need to be arguing, we did not gerrymander. This reversal by the court is exactly the gerrymandering that we were trying to remedy. And this is why Alito is wrong, right? So we have the majority opinion, and this is why Kavanaugh sided with the majority of opinion. The House as an institution has no cognizable interest in the identity of its members. Who has an interest in the identity of the members of the House? The people, not the House. So when they say that the House as an institution has no cognizable interest in the identity of its members, they're saying the House is a reflection of the people. It is the people who choose the House.
So do you think...
Let me show you Alito's argument.
Should this be popular vote? Is that the solution?
No, because you have to have... Because you're a republic, you have to have districts.
No, I'm saying to decide what those districts are. I mean, it can't be the sitting legislature that decides we're going to make our own districts. So... How do you solve that? This is not going to go away.
No,
how do you solve this problem?
You know, you solve this problem by eliminating the power of political parties.
Well,
it's the corruption in the system. The system itself is, like I said, we have multiple checks and balances here. The failure is not in the way it's established. The failure is in the remedy. There needs to be a remedy in law in the state constitution that says when the gerrymandering has been found by the courts and the attorney general does not wish to follow that, and the House, the legislature refuses to redistrict according to the courts, then there has to be a way to do this.
Okay, so you're still talking about after the fact. You got to go back to how you do it in the first place.
Now,
that system has to change.
But there... Okay, so we'll just let that aside, because that's a wholly different argument. Because
right.
I don't see in a republic any other way to do this. Because popular vote districting means you're now a democracy. Districting must be done through representation of the people. So that
Which the means whole, the legislature which, decides its own boundaries.
Right, but then you have the checks and balance. When the legislature operates outside the interest of the people and picks up special interest groups as its motivation, then the people bring their check. And then the courts bring their check. And the attorney... I mean, we have a three-step check process. And after the fact, we're not a pre-crime unit. Everything about a republic is about remedy.
I just don't see why you can't. I just don't see why you can't allow the public to vote, like a referendum, allow the public to vote on district maps, not decided by a judge.
Because that's not how
that's
republics
crazy.
Work. Well, and I'm saying,
we vote
I'm not
to choose
saying,
our representatives.
Yes, but the representatives have to actually. The redistricting is done by representation, so the majority voters don't
exert
all the power in the majority.
So
you
for
have
instance,
a majority vote that redlines the
okay,
districts.
I understand.
So what you then have is the majority putting all the money and all the power into their hands. So it has to be done through representation. The problem is, the real problem is, JC, we don't have representatives anymore. Political parties have representatives. That's why
true.
This is a continual battle over and over again.
Because they're trying to consolidate power in a particular...
Because they're trying to consolidate power into parties. Like you said, you started off, this is a Democrat operative a battle. And we have the Republicans in their battle now trying to consolidate power to themselves.
And that's why I say, you know, somebody lives in a community. I mean, the people know... What are their communities?
Yeah.
So
okay,
these idiots, like they did in Florida, when you cut a boundary, I mean, I understand why they did it, and I don't like the lady they were targeting either.
Right.
But to run a district boundary through the center of a neighborhood so that you can split up this particular person's voting block,
and that's the
problem. That's gerrymandering.
Well,
so
but
the
that's
people
the
know
problem,
their
JC.
Communities.
Yeah, but again, It can't be by popular vote, because then the majority will do the same kind of redistricting and the minority will have one district with one representative. So popular vote is pure democracy, is not how this works. Because once you have the people in popular vote redistricting, then you're going to have even worse gerrymandering, because the people in power will consolidate the power unto themselves.
All right, let me throw you another one. The salaries of, let's say, Congress, salaries of Congress. So you would say no way people should vote to approve their salaries.
That's totally different. That's completely different.
Why?
Because it doesn't directly affect representation. You're okay. Not, because you're making
so
it
So legislators
equal.
Can make their own boundaries but not make their own salaries.
No. Well, they're two completely
different things. I think it's broken. Maybe my answer is not the answer, but
I can't
it doesn't make sense to me that the legislature
Let me ask you this. Decides you don't see
its own boundaries.
You don't see that a popular vote then would consolidate power
No,
into
I,
the
yeah,
majority.
Yeah. No, I see that argument.
Right.
I'm just saying
so that's
there's got to be some other solution. Approving its own boundaries, defining its own boundaries, is the same thing to me as giving themselves
well,
a raise.
Then they make their own salary. Well, then what you need is a separate elected.
Apparently, we need a king.
You need a separate. You need a separate elected body.
Right,
right?
A commission of some sort.
A commission elected by the people in the same representative form.
Okay, I'll go with that.
That sets the boundaries that create the legislative bodies that are not passing.
All right, I like that one.
That works.
I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find.
The Chris and Hall Show.
Welcome back to the Chris and Hall Daily Journal. Up on YouTube, we have our calendar for July. Remember, we're going to be in New Mexico and California. Make sure that you get there. Very quickly, I need to show you why Alito is wrong. Alito says that the legislature is like a string quartet or a basketball team who has an interest in the constituency of its members. The difference here, and this is what we need to see about this, this is the whole purpose for handling this case to begin with, is that these justices that voted with Alito see the legislative body as a self-inclusive, self-identifying body. They're actually saying the legislature is, the people are a reflection of the legislature instead of the legislature being a reflection of the people. They have a total top-down perspective rather than a representative-up perspective.
Please don't read those. This is just dumb argument.
I know.
Added to dumb argument. This
no,
stuff is
it
so
is
nonsensical.
A stupid argument, but JC, it tells you where these people come from.
I agree.
These, you have
just say,
Robert
just makes
Breyer,
the stupidest
Kavanaugh,
statements.
And Alito all saying that the people are irrelevant in government.
Right.
It is government that matters.
Yep.
And that's where we get this federal supremacist ideology. Mm-hmm. This is where we get the judicial supremacist ideology, which is why Kavanaugh is on board, by the way.
Right.
And why Roberts is on board.
Yep.
So we have now,
it's
I believe, the
control.
Distinction about political control. You have now decided, remember, removing Ginsburg and Kagan from this paradigm, you have now seen that Gorsuch and Thomas are the least political of our conservative justices, and everybody else is politically motivated. And it's just very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
So before we go...
Who's the least?
Who's the least?
Who did you say least
Kavanaugh.
Politically motivated?
Kavanaugh and... I'm sorry. No, Gorsuch and Thomas.
Okay.
Gorsuch and Thomas. Okay? So before...
I have another remedy, by the way, for the legislative gerrymandering.
Well, we've got another case to get to, but...
Public flogging.
Tarring just, and feathering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would probably be good.
They would
I've
stop
had lots of
like
people
this.
Say we need to bring back tarring and feathering. So the Oregon case, JC, this is this headline. Supreme Court hands victory to Oregon bakery that refused gay wedding. Do you know what actually happened?
What actually happened?
The Supreme Court punted. They sent it back to the lower court saying, okay, we're not going to handle this case. You have to review it based on our decision in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. Okay? Mm-hmm. So remember, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case was not a victory. It was the Supreme Court handing out instructions to the local government on how to discriminate based on religious principles,
right,
as long as it's done in law.
So we could be right back in the same mess several months from now.
Absolutely. Well, it won't be several months from now. It'll be a long time from now. It's going to take more than months.
So this did not end.
This did not end. And this was not a victory for the Oregon bakers, because now they have to continue to pay lawyers. They're going to have to pay to go to the Supreme Court a second time,
right,
because Oregon is not going to back off. You see, remember,
well, that would be the only case if Oregon somehow changed its stance, which is unlikely.
It's not likely. You missed the day when we covered the Washington florist case.
Yeah.
Because the Supreme Court did the exact same thing to the Washington florist. If you listeners have not heard my case on the Washington florist case, go back and listen to that case. Because Washington said, okay, we reviewed Masterpiece, and we didn't do the ugly things that the Colorado government did, so we're good to go. We're not backing down. Now the florist and her lawyers and the money she's paying her lawyers and the money that the lawyers are paying the court are going to have to go back to the Supreme Court. Oregon is going to do the same thing. There's absolutely no way, shape, or form this is a victory for the Oregon bakery. They've already lost their business. The lawyers are already spending tons of money. They're already going to have to pay the court again to go all the way through the Supreme Court.
It's just odd that they used the term victory. The best thing you could say about this is the case still undecided.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the rosiest thing you could say.
Yeah, but
why
do
they
say it's
victory?
Undecided because the lower courts have already decided and they don't understand how all of this works. So look, please, just, I'm not trying to take your joy away, okay? I'm not trying to remove your joy.
Not done.
But let's stay realistic and watch this all the way to the end. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.